Obligation vibes are so like ick to me. The most generous people in the world are the most boundaried people in the world. The people who will get the most upset when you set a boundary are the people who are benefiting the most from you not having any. We think we're setting a boundary, but we're actually just making a request. I think as we start to set more clear boundaries and we dare to reinforce them, the people in our world honor and respect those boundaries, or if they can't, they kind of start to like remove themselves from our lives. Welcome back to another episode of Oh Hi Self. I'm your host, Sandra Potting, speaker, coach, and lover of all things personal development, money mindset, manifestation, and lifestyle design, and cats, and dancing, and food, and travel. I'm on a mission to help you create an extraordinary life that you love. And as a part of that mission, today I'm bringing you a quick solo episode on a topic that has been so hugely important to me, and also one that I end up working with almost every single client on extensively, especially the women. It is a skill that if we learn how to do it and how to do it well, we free up so much of our time and our mental bandwidth, and we also up-level our relationships, our communication, and everything in those relationships, basically like a ton. So we'll get to that in a second, but first let me share some GCI with you. So today I'm grateful for the power of identity. I know I talk a lot about identity work, and that is because it is so crucial. By identity, I mean who we believe ourselves to be. When we want something, when we want to move from A to B in some area, I believe that the fastest and most effective way to do so is to adopt the identity of the person who has that thing or is already there. And without fail in areas in my life, the areas where I tend to have the most success and with the most ease is where I'm already embodying that type of person. For example, I'm so proud of my body and my fitness and what I'm capable of at 43 years old. I love how I look and I love how my body feels and performs. But honestly, I haven't actually had to work that hard to get here or stay here. And I know that can be terribly annoying for anyone who has a different experience, but bear with me, because I believe it's largely because I simply identify as an athlete. Like, yes, there are genetics at play. And yes, some of us, you know, we're born with different things and there's hereditary components. And the identity piece is so crucial because no matter what I was born with, if I didn't identify as an athlete, I wouldn't take any of the actions that I'm taking now. And I've identified as an athlete for as long as I can remember. So it would never occur to me to not take care of my body, to eat well, to work out. Like it's non-negotiable. It's who I believe myself to be. It's my identity. Other areas of my life have not come as easily at all, like quite the contrary. And in each of those cases, there's been a disconnect between who I believe myself to be, my identity, and then the type of person who would be or have that thing that I desire. So that is where I get to do the identity work to close the gap. And to figure out how do I become the kind of person who would blank. This is also a central piece to what I teach in manifestation. I see it as like the fastest, the most effective way to attract our desires. It's not fake it till you make it. It's embody it until you become it. And luckily, doing that kind of identity work is quite fun. I love it. And I'm grateful and I would gladly do it every damn day. And I do. So grateful for that. I'm celebrating like all of the quirky details that make each of us who we are. One of my favorite things to witness with my clients as we work on, typically it's like we're working on unleashing more of their authenticity. We start to identify not just big things like, you know, their core values and their strengths and their passions, but also all the tiny little super unique random things that make them light up. For example, earlier this week, I was working with a client on her future self. There's that identity work again. And she was answering the question, if your future self has a brand aesthetic or a color palette, what would it be? And she immediately lit up like a light bulb and practically yelled yellow at my face. And then she proceeded to tell me all the many fun reasons why she loves the color yellow and all the ways she incorporates yellow into her life and how meaningful it is. And it was like positively delightful. And I was reminded how powerful it is when we know these things about ourselves and we do our best to honor them. I was doing a similar exercise with another client who acknowledged that she doesn't like how it feels having like a lot of plastic or cheap shit laying around, which I totally get. And she really values quality items that are, you know, eco-friendly. And then she started raving about how much she loves kitchen things with like little wooden accents and or just products made of a certain kinds of quality wood. And like that brings her so much peace and joy and the sense of calm. And again, she just lit up like a light bulb and I could feel her energy and her presence just glowing and growing. And it was delightful. So this is my wish for all of us, that we identify those things and honor them in our own lives, because it's such a source of aliveness. And it's so fun to be around when people know those things about themselves and incorporate them. My eye, my intention, something I'm working on right now is to share my strong opinions more often after so many years of people pleasing and deferring to others and, you know, being as like appeasing and easy to be around as possible. I'm like kind of making up for lost time. So the more I lean into giving myself permission to have strong opinions and to share them unapologetically, the more liberated and the more empowered I feel. It's definitely easier for me to practice with small things that have low stakes. So I'm like doing that mostly. And then I'm working my way up to bigger and more important topics where I'm daring to speak up, which does not come easily for me at all. Okay, on to today's topic. Today's topic is badass boundaries. This is quite possibly the most common theme that ends up coming up with most of my clients, especially the women I've worked with over the last 12 years. I find that the easiest way for me to think about boundaries is, what am I available for? And what am I not available for? I also heard a great distinction on a podcast the other day. It was with a parenting expert, and she defined the difference between a boundary and a request, because oftentimes we collapse the two. So when we set a boundary, we're informing someone what we're available for, what we're not available for, like what are the limits, the boundaries we're drawing around ourselves. And we're telling them what we will do or what we will not do if they cross that boundary. Whereas a request, on the other hand, is asking somebody else to do something or not do something. So a lot of times, she was pointing out that a lot of times we think we're setting a boundary, but we're actually just making a request. So in other words, the boundary is about what you will do and a request is about what they will do. Some of the places where this can get really tricky, which I'm sure a lot of us can relate to, is with family. I see this especially in the parent-child dynamic. I've seen this with so many of my clients where they grew up with parents who were either just straight up abusive or kind of narcissistic, maybe manipulative, or just like generally not respectful or kind. And then even as adults, the kids feel like they need to continue to let their parents violate their boundaries, and then they forgive them every time they do. And then the cycle just repeats and repeats. Or we might see it showing up with friends or colleagues or bosses where we're afraid to set a boundary because we don't want to make the other person mad, or we don't want to be judged by them. We don't want to disappoint them. Or maybe we're afraid that there may be consequences that we don't want to deal with. So we just, once again, allow other people to violate our boundaries. If we back up even more, oftentimes, I think one of the biggest problems is that we simply don't know what our own boundaries are. This is the case for most of my clients, I think. In the beginning of my work with someone, I spend a lot of time helping them get to know themselves. We do a lot of work around what's important to them, their values, how they want to live their lives. And then inevitably, we start to get more clear on what they're actually available for and not. And then they start to realize quickly what parts of their life are out of alignment with that, or more specifically, who. So in the beginning, when we start to set boundaries, like it can be straight up terrifying or at the very least uncomfortable. I often encourage my clients to start small and practice setting like the tiniest boundaries in the lowest stakes situations just to get their reps in, and then they strengthen their boundary setting muscle, so to speak. Over time, they become more practiced at this, they get more courageous, and eventually they're able to, you know, set the bigger, scarier boundaries with the bigger, scarier people or the bigger, scarier relationship dynamics. I've had clients who have ended up straight up cutting off ties with family members, quitting jobs due to their bosses being bullies, leaving relationships because their partners were so respectful or disrespectful, and just the list goes on and on, like really tough stuff. And boundaries, while sometimes involving the big scary things, like the example that I just mentioned, it can also be so great with just random small things, which I really think we shouldn't discount the small things. A lot of my clients are sensitive, introverted empaths like I am, who feel kind of obligated to say yes to, you know, family events, social things, or all kinds of invitations that maybe in the moment they don't actually really want to go to. But they're afraid to disappoint people. They don't want to hurt someone. And so a huge part of them stepping into more assertive communication and feeling way more empowered is like the simple practice of starting to say no to some of those invitations. It's really cool to watch. We talk about how the people who will get the most upset when you set the boundary are the people who were getting the most benefit out of you not having any. Like, let me repeat that. The people who will get the most upset when you set a boundary are the people who are benefiting the most from you not having any. Ooh. This often wakes them up to the fact that these people don't often have their best interests in mind. And like, maybe it's okay to care less what they think. I think as we start to set more clear boundaries and we start to communicate them and we dare to reinforce them, the people in our world either honor and respect those boundaries, or if they can't, they kind of start to like remove themselves from our lives. or we remove them from our lives, or where they become more distant, which is totally okay too. It can be really scary in the beginning and take quite a bit of effort to build up that muscle. But after a while, it's like we start to get so much time back. We feel more empowered. And ultimately, we start to realize that setting clear boundaries and training the people in our world how we want to be treated and what we're available for and what we're not available for, it's like it's actually one of the kindest things we can do. When you set a boundary, you're not doing it to inconvenience or bother someone. You are, in essence, handing them an instruction manual for your needs. You're helping them understand what's okay with you, what's not, because they're not mind readers as much as we want them to be. So it's actually a really helpful gift to them. Brené Brown said something along the lines of, the most generous people in the world are the most boundaried people in the world, which that so hits home for me. It makes so much sense. Like when I have weak sauce boundaries, I am likely bending over backwards. I'm appeasing people. I'm overgiving. I'm not getting my own needs met. I'm probably feeling depleted because I'm emptying my tank without refilling it. I'm also very likely starting to resent the very people that I'm trying to appease or not inconvenience. Whereas when I have badass boundaries, it's like plugging the energetic leaks in my system. Instead of constantly draining my tank, I am no longer leaking energy. And then I can focus on filling and fueling my tank instead. And from that place, I'm more grounded, more energized, and I can start to give generously from a place of like genuine desire. And that I think is badass. I don't know about you, but if someone is giving to me in any way, like I want it to be coming from a place of genuine desire, not obligation. Obligation vibes are so like ick to me. I don't want them to feel resentful. I want them to feel stoked. And in order for them to feel stoked, they need to have boundaries. It's probably one of my favorite things in the world when someone sets a clear boundary with me. Like even if it stings a little bit in the beginning or if it's slightly inconvenient, like I want to scream, fuck yeah, good for you. Thank you for teaching me about your needs. So how do we get better at this? Number one, decide that you want to get better at setting boundaries. You all know I'm obsessed with the power of decision. Like make an energetic declaration that this is something you will work on. Number two, start figuring out what your boundaries actually are. For most of us, this will be an ongoing process. If you've had weak boundaries your whole life, the change will not happen overnight, but you can start by noticing what feels right and what doesn't. You can start by asking yourself questions like, am I okay with this? What am I available for? What am I not available for? Number three, as you start to notice what your boundaries are, start speaking them out loud. Practice with people who feel safe at first. And remember, you can absolutely communicate your boundary with love, respect, kindness. I think so many of us are afraid that setting a boundary means being like a rude biatch, which is simply not true. I think that's a silly idea perpetuated by TV and movies. Conscious, thoughtful boundaries can be communicated with so much grace and firmness and like a genuine smile. Number four, once you've communicated a boundary, the work is definitely not over. Like some people will immediately respect your boundary after hearing it one time. Other people will not. This does not necessarily mean that they're being dickheads. It might simply mean that they're not able to in that moment. Like they might be so conditioned and stuck in their ways that they can't or won't even hear your boundary. If someone is generally not good at respecting other people's boundaries, they may take some more work to get on board. And this is when you can go into broken record mode. I'll credit my mom for this idea. Just tell them the same thing over and over and over. And it usually gets pretty tiring and then they usually listen. You're also not required to justify your boundary. Like you can if you want to, but you don't have to. You can absolutely continue to repeat and reinforce the boundary over and over. And it's up to you if you want to make, you know, if you want, how many second chances you want to give people. I generally like to give people the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're trying and they're doing their best. If I can see that they're making an effort, like I'm willing to honor that because we can all grow and change. Where I'd like to believe that. If I can tell that they're blatantly disrespecting a boundary and don't appear interested in or willing to change, that's when I'm more likely to enforce the consequences. Luckily for me, I would say I've created a life where I rarely need to do this because I'm surrounded by like conscious, thoughtful, growth-oriented humans who support me and communicate clearly, which is very much by design. Number five, what kind of consequences are we talking about? This is entirely up to you. An example could be something like, you know, your mother-in-law stops by your house uninvited at all hours of the day and you just kind of grin and bear it. But then let's say you decide to start setting boundaries with her and she just like laughs them off and continues her behavior. And you reinforce the boundary a few times and you ask her to please respect them and she continues to disrespect them. And then you put your foot down and you say, okay, next time you come over unannounced, I'm going to lock the door and not let you in. Hopefully she gets the point then. But, you know, sometimes people need to actually experience the consequence before they take you seriously. So if that's the case, Next time she comes over, lock the door. Don't let her in. Number six, this is where it gets hard because ultimately we may need to cut certain people out of our life or at least love them from afar and have fewer interactions with them. But the beautiful part about having the balls to do this is that we start to select away the people in our lives who can't treat us the way that we want to be treated, which then clears up space for new people to enter our lives who can treat us the way that we want to be treated. And then the more we do this, the more empowered and assertive we become, and we start to design and create the kinds of relationships and community that we want. So remember, the more boundaried you become, the more generous you can be, the more boundaried you become, the more grounded, calm, and well-resourced you'll be. Like, it truly is a gift, I believe, for everyone involved. The people who are available for supporting you in a healthy way, they'll welcome your boundaries, or at least they'll do their best to learn to honor them. And the people who can't or won't, like, we can wish them well and start to limit our interactions with them. I really believe that setting boundaries is one of the most empowering and important things you can do for yourself and the people in your world. I hope that was helpful. If this episode resonated with you, I would love to know. Please either take a moment to write us a quick review, or you can even mention this episode in writing that quick review. You could send this episode to a friend who might need it, or take a screenshot, post it on the social medias, and tag me at Sandra Possing and let me know what you thought. If you are someone who's recognizing that you could maybe benefit from setting better boundaries and you need some help getting there, please reach out to me. I would love to chat and see if I can support you. As I mentioned, this is one of the most common unhelpful tendencies I see in people, especially women. And it's a huge part of my mission to help more women step into their power. And this is something that I coach my clients on all the time. You can reach out to me on Instagram or at hello@ohiself.com, or simply contact me through my website, sandrapossing.com. In my one-on-one coaching and mentorship with clients, this is one of the areas that I would say my clients get the most epic results. It's pretty amazing to watch. Okay, listener, thank you. I love you, and I will see you in the next episode.